John Paul was the first non-Italian pope since the 16th century. He was the first and only Polish pope. To find out more about what his papacy meant for Poles, we've called Zbigniew Brzezinski, President Carter's national security advisor and a native of Poland. Welcome.
Nice to be with you.
You were working in the White House for President Carter when John Paul became pope. Did you ever meet him?
Oh, I certainly met him. I met him actually before he became pope. But I was actually presiding a session of the National Security Council in the president's absence in the Situation Room in the White House when the duty officer came to me and gave me a slip of paper saying that Cardinal Wojtyla, first non-Italian pope in centuries, has been elected. And I was absolutely stunned. And I went and phoned the president, who was up in Camp David, and told him about it.
What kind of a person was he?
I would describe him as very self-composed, in a quiet, almost serene fashion. You had a sense in him of utter confidence and conviction in a non-aggressive and yet compelling fashion.
John Paul's political consciousness was forged when he was a young man living under Nazi occupation in Poland. How do you think that experience shaped his attitude toward communist rule?
The impact on him, as I sense, was to reinforce his conviction that the autonomy of the individual, the spiritual conviction and self-reliance of the individual was a priceless treasure worth cultivating and ultimately impregnable. And this is what made him so quietly confident that communism would fail.
When he became a cardinal in Krakow, the communist authorities didn't see him immediately as a great threat at that time, but then he later became a symbol of resistance to communist rule. How do you think that happened?
Not so much a symbol of resistance, but more a symbol of rejection in a broader, wider, and ultimately philosophical sense. And that was inherent in his preaching, in his conviction that life is more than just a physical existence, that communism, with its emphasis on materialism, was really escapism, and that it failed to answer the deeper, more basic questions pertaining to human existence.
Tell us about the impact of John Paul's first trip back to Poland in 1979 as Pope.
What it did was to strip the communist regime of its faked supremacy. Most Poles were anti-communist in a kind of residual fashion, some more active, some more passive. But they were also living in a society which was thoroughly controlled, in which communication among people was still cautious when it came to politics. And then when the Pope appeared, all of a sudden they discovered, in a country of 35 million people, that probably no less than 30 million people felt the way each one of them individually felt. And then they all appeared on the streets and they all welcomed the Pope, and in the process realized that they were the real people, that they were the real nation. Now, there is a story, which is actually true, of a meeting of the writers in Kraków, the day on which he was elected. It was a Communist Party meeting of the communist writers. And a colonel of the police was speaking and talking about subversion and opposition of the church and how Cardinal Wojtyla is also a problem. And the party secretary was sitting on the stage next to the second party secretary of the region when the woman who runs the buffet, this is the actual story, runs into the room and yells out loudly, "Wojtyla has been elected pope." The colonel comes to a dead stop, doesn't know what to say, and the first secretary, forgetting that the mic is right next to him, turns to the second secretary and says to him, my God, from now on, will have to kiss his ass." And the other guy responds by saying, "Only if he lets us." I mean, that was the effect on the regime.
So even then, they were aware of the power that this personality was going to have.
Oh, yeah, they had a sense of their vulnerability, and they knew that now it's going to be mobilized by a strong personality, who was not a demagogue. He was not a flaming, passionate orator. You know, I was the co-chair of the U.S. delegation to his coronation, and I'll always remember how he walked out to this huge crowd, and he extended his hands to the crowd, and he said to them, "Do not be afraid." And you know, you have to ask yourself, what was he saying? And what he was saying was something very important. Most people at some point in their lives are fearful as to why they're here, what does it all mean, what is the purpose of all of this. Anxiety is part of the human condition. And he was saying to them, don't be afraid. There's more to life than what you just see around yourselves. And he communicated that not just to Catholics. I mean, why is he being mourned today by Jews in Israel, by Muslims, by many Christians who are not Catholics and don't even care for the Catholic Church? Because he addressed these issues. Because he somehow or other communicated something very basic at a universal scale.
Former National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski is now with the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. Thank you.
Thank you very much.